Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavasa, and this is another edition. And for today, we are looking at something that I think is quite topical at the moment. You know, when you think about the lockdown, COVID-19, and some of the news reports that have been seen, there's been a lot of looting of there's a debate of whether it's called a liquor store or a bottle store, but there's been looting in some areas because there are restrictions on the buying and selling of alcohol right now because of the lockdown. But the COVID-19 has actually had consequences on the liquor industry, on wine and other beverages, beyond just some of the looting that we have seen. Because there are no sales, you know, what actually happens to the stocks of wines that are there, the stocks of liquor that are there, grape farmers, all of that. And to perhaps shed some light on what all of that means, we are joined by Francois Bezuidenhout, who is a long-standing Cape wine master, and he's going to be helping us to unpack what COVID-19 has meant for the wine industry and some of its implications. Francois, how are you?
Hi, Madiwa. Thank you very much for having me. I'm well, and I am relaxing at home like the rest of the country.
I guess firstly, can you just give us your interest in terms of your pound of flesh in the actual industry? We know that you're a Cape wine master. Does that mean that what does that actually mean? How has COVID-19 affected your business, and how is it affecting, I guess, your comrades in the business?
Yeah, I suppose I'm sitting here with two hats on. On the one side, as you rightly mentioned, the Cape Wine Master hat. That is a qualification that not a lot of people have. I think the count at the moment is 102 since 1980 that have qualified as Cape Wine Masters, and it's effectively we're a group of people. Through the Institute of Cape Wine Masters that are actively involved in the industry and are actively involved in promoting and expanding, you know, the South African wine and brandy industries as a whole, and sort of acting as ambassadors, I suppose. So that's the one side. The second side is, of course, in my personal capacity with my own business. I own two businesses, Bezuidenhout Family Wines, under which I do. I've got some wine brands, and then Pumville Drinks Company, in which we produce some gin, and looking at producing some rum and brandy pretty soon. So you know, various hats, and I think just being involved in the industry for quite a long time, and having been exposed to all sort of different sides of the industry, the local, the production side, the export side, I think there's obviously a huge impact that this COVID-19 lockdown situation is having on our industry. The main issue, of course, is that currently no alcohol sales are permitted anywhere in South Africa, which I completely understand from government side. I think the abuse of alcohol can, of course, lead to some other issues and some other problems. So I completely understand that, and I support that. Although it is definitely impacting significantly. Everything is closed, from wine tasting rooms to restaurants on the wine farms to any other place in South Africa where alcohol is sold and or consumed. So it's tough, and we don't know when the lockdown is really going to finish. We don't know how long it's going to last, and we don't know what the long-term impact of this is really going to be on sales.
I guess from everything that you've just said, you have, so many years in the industry and seen so many different sides of it. Could you characterize for us how this situation, I understand it is a developing situation. We haven't really reached the end. We're not even sure when the end will be. But can you characterize for us how this has sort of been different from perhaps other type of catastrophes that are common to industries that have a foundation in agriculture, droughts, I guess crop failures, stuff like that, perhaps oversupply in a certain part of the world that then brings wine prices down. All of those different factors, how would you say that this particular crisis has been different, given your years of experience?
Well, I think if you look at the wine industry in a from a global perspective, then mostly there will be droughts in certain parts of the world, but other parts of the world won't necessarily experience the same conditions. Or, for argument's sake, the European regions might have some frost or a really bad spring, and that would impact their harvest. But then the southern hemisphere, such as us and Australia, and South America, would perhaps have a good harvest in that period. So then there's sort of an equilibrium that's reached. I think what makes this situation so unique is that it's affecting every single country in the world. It's absolutely a global pandemic. So it's not just South Africa that's sitting in a lockdown situation where alcohol sales and wine sales are not permissible. Export of wine is not permissible. Bulk exports is not permissible. We have, fortunately, I think it was about 9 o'clock on the evening, just before the lockdown started, the wine industry was granted permission to at least finish the harvest of 2020. So the wineries, or many of them, are still at least active, and they are bringing in the last of the grapes if they haven't already by now, and just finishing up the fermentation and finishing up the making of the actual wine for the 2020 harvest. But what, of course, will happen in the coming weeks and months is that a lot less stock will be moved. So it will inevitably create a surplus situation. The 2020 harvest has been a fairly decent harvest. So we are expecting some good volume, better than 2017, 18, and 19, where, as you rightly pointed out, we experienced some drought conditions along with other parts of the world. So 3 years ago, it was exactly the opposite situation, where we saw prices increasing dramatically because of an undersupply because of the drought. And that was in the favor of the producer. But unfortunately, I think what's going to happen now is that globally there will be less movement of wine, less exports, less imports from other parts of the world of South African wine. So we will sit in a sort of an oversupply situation probably for the next coming years in this country. And that has a trickle-down effect, where there's downward pressure on the bulk wine prices, and that of course affects the producer, the farmer, and the laborers, and the people who do the harvesting and work in the vineyards. It has a sort of a ripple effect, if you like, to so many parts and of the industry. And of course, the South African wine industry is a big contributor to the South African GDP. It employs a lot of people, and only time will tell, unfortunately. I think it's a bit of a wait and see, and that is what has everybody very anxious and very very worried at this point.
Would you say that, I guess, the nature of the product itself perhaps becomes a bit of an advantage, because unlike other goods that sit on shelves in shops, for example, wine has a long shelf life. That's on one end. So, what are the actual implications, I guess, for wineries and for farmers? Because I don't think it doesn't sound as if the worry is more is about perhaps products going bad. If, for example, you're a cheese farmer or you were doing fresh produce and it's not being taken off the shelves, then you're worried that your product is going to rot on the shelves. But in your case, the product can sit on the shelf for a long time. What are the actual risks? Is it working capital? Is it loans to banks? Like, what are the things that farmers are likely really worried about right now?
Yeah, I think the immediate impact will not necessarily be on the 2020 harvest. Generally speaking, the 2020 harvest is only really over by about end of April. I don't know, but by then we'll most likely be out of the lockdown period, hopefully. The impact will be on the older vintages, the 2017, 18, and 19 vintages that have either been bottled already and is due to be exported or sold, all bottled, sitting in tank at the cellar and waiting to be bottled. So none of that can happen at the moment. I've heard in the industry that many export orders have been either postponed indefinitely or just outright cancelled. So that means the producer will need to find a different market for it elsewhere. That, of course, has a hugely dramatic impact on the bottom line. At the end of the day, I think the major risk factor here is generating turnover, generating cash flow, and just keeping the business afloat. Because in the wine industry, the margins are not that amazing always, especially if you are playing the commercial game where a lot of your sales are going through the main retailers and the profit margins are not fantastic, but you are relying on moving significant volume. If you lose that for 2 or 3 or 4 or even 6 months, it has a huge impact on the bottom line. And jobs will be on the line, unfortunately. The people working at the bottling facilities, the people working for the transporters, the people working in the vineyard. I think again, time will tell. We all hope that this lockdown situation and the COVID-19 problems are short, and that it'll all blow over very soon and very quickly, and everything can be back to normal. But I think because there's no way at the moment to generate any kind of sales and any kind of turnover, the longer that continues, the worse the problem will become.
Actually, on that issue of not being able to generate an income because of the moratorium that's been placed on alcohol sales, was there any consultation perhaps with the wine industry? I think you, yeah, was there any consultation before that restriction was made with the industry, sort of a heads up to say, guys, we're sorry, but we're going to be putting these restrictions on the sale of these particular products? Or did you guys as wine producers sort of discover it at the same time as other South Africans that there would be no sales going during this period of lockdown?
Well, I suspect that the larger players in the industry, such as your Distell and KWV, I think to an extent they were informed a little bit before the rest of the country. I can't state that as a fact, but I do assume that that was the case. Many spirits producers, such as your typical Distell or KWV or other large distilleries, have now received special licenses and special grants basically to produce spirits for the hand sanitizer industry. So that is something that the government has allowed. Of course, they can't carry on producing spirits for for consumption, such as vodka or gin or brandy or whiskey, but they can produce the pure ethanol spirit for the hand sanitizer industry and to use as disinfectant in hospitals, in supermarkets, and you know, all other places around the world or around the country rather where it's needed. So. So I think to an extent they would have been informed prior to that Monday evening when our president announced the lockdown. Now, for the rest of the industry, it's been, unfortunately, I think a little bit of a catch-up game. But a task team has been put together by industry players such as Vinpro, which I think is doing a fantastic job, WASA, which is... an acronym for Wines of South Africa. They are our marketing body for the wine industry. And there's a task team that is currently engaging with government. They're engaging with other stakeholders such as Transnet. And I'm getting, along with the rest of the industry, I'm getting daily updates in terms of the progress there. I think the main driver for these negotiations at the moment is to try and open the export market. I don't think anyone is necessarily pushing for alcohol sales to open on the local front because we understand the risks involved and we understand that government wants to mitigate these risks on the local front just to keep everything under control until we survive this. But for the export market, I think, yeah, that's usually important. Of course, at the moment, of course, the, you know, the rand and the exchange rate is very favorable. So it would, in fact, be a fantastic time for most producers in South Africa to export to other parts of the world. We're sitting on almost 20 rand to the US dollar. So I think... you know, if we can get something exported now, it's also a lot of money that flows back into South Africa and keeps our economy, which is in obviously dire straits, afloat.
Actually, I like the fact that you are pointing to some of the opportunities because I think that's really a good place for us to perhaps conclude the discussion just around how, what advice do you sort of have for fellow entrepreneurs, fellow winemakers, maybe not even just winemakers, but other business owners who have been affected by the lockdown and are sort of thinking about how can they make the most? Because as you rightly said, the wine industry right now is recognizing that on the local front, there's very little that they can do, but they're looking for opportunities, you know, on the export side. So there is a silver lining on that end. And as you said, the rand is favorable right now. You guys will likely get more money just given how strong the US dollar is at the moment. So from that end, what sort of advice do you have for other types of businesses that have been affected by COVID-19? And then also, do you anticipate that when the period is over, we might see a bit of a surge of some sort? Or the people that haven't been able to buy wine for maybe 2-3 weeks saying that they need that nice glass of red or white or whatever it is, do you anticipate that there might be that little surge as the recovery comes in?
Yeah, to answer your last question first, I think definitely there will be a bit of a rush to the liquor stores to buy all sorts of things. Of course, in South Africa, beer is still the number one most consumed alcoholic beverage. So I would expect that there would be a huge rush for people to stock up on the undersupply. I get a lot of requests at the moment from people trying to buy wine from me, but of course that is completely illegal currently. And I obviously don't want to lose my liquor license, so I'm not trading in any way. But I think, you know, for entrepreneurs, for businesses that are struggling, I think it's very tough. You know, every person, every business owner knows their business. But I think now is the time to just think out of the box and to see where you can, you know, perhaps contribute. I've seen or I've read articles of clothing manufacturers now making face masks and other factories converting to produce all sorts of things from hand sanitizers to ventilators to whatever the case may be. I think if there's any opportunity for you to do any business in retail at the moment, I think that would be great. Of course, that's completely closed off for the wine and spirits trade, but retail is absolutely booming at the moment. That's the only place where people can go to purchase basically anything. In times of a catastrophe or a disaster, they say there's always opportunity. So I think just try and think out of the box and try and find those opportunities. Like I indicated earlier, a lot of distilleries have now got a special license to produce alcohol for hand sanitizers and disinfectants. So that's a way to, utilize your skills as a winemaker to contribute and actually also not just survive and make a little bit of money, but also I think to contribute to society at large have a hopefully a some kind of positive effect in this disastrous time.
Each business owner knows their business, but this is a good time for people to be thinking outside the box. That is the message coming from Francois Bezendert, who is a long-standing Cape wine master and winemaker, telling us about how COVID-19 has actually affected the wine industry, letting us know that because of the moratorium on the sale of alcohol right now, the biggest concerns at the moment is generating revenues, because local sales have been restricted. So in terms of looking for opportunities, the industry is turning towards international markets, looking to export their product, and at the moment the rand is favorable simply because the rand has weakened, but in the export market winemakers could potentially make more money. He's also pointing to the fact that some wineries have gone out to be making spirits that are being used for hand sanitizer. So these are the ways that the industry is trying to cope and adapt with the ongoing crisis. And his encouragement to other business owners is to look outside the box, because honestly speaking, it is a wait and see game, but something needs to be done in the interim. So that's been us. It's been a very fascinating conversation. I definitely think I learned a lot. Francois, how can people perhaps get in touch with you guys? And, for those that are listening who might be in the liquor stores as from next week, if the lockdown is over, do you have any brands on the shop shelves that people might know?
Yeah, people can get in touch with me directly. My email is my first name, Francois, at bezfamily, bezfamily.com. My last name, of course, being Bezadenet. So people can get in touch with me. My local distribution goes through a fantastic agency called BBH. And they do a very good job in the retail space, but we will see if the lockdown is uplifted next week Thursday. I hope everybody can get their hands on some good quality wine and some good gin, and everything can be back to normal. And in the meantime, I think just stay home and stay safe.
So that's Francois Bezadenhout coming in from the wine industry, letting us know what's going on there in terms of the COVID-19 crisis.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Very fascinating discussion there with Francois. I think my interest in talking to him was particularly just around some of the more practical implications of COVID-19, because we keep hearing a lot about how the economy is being affected, ratings downgrades, the rand, all of that stuff. And that's big macro stuff, but on a micro level, for a specific industry, specific players in an industry, right? Because today we're looking at the wine industry, we're looking at, and Francois himself runs a winery, and they have some wine brands that they are selling, stuff like that. He's talking about harvest. So we're no longer just looking at, that big broad pictures, numbers and indicators that a lot of people tend not to understand, but the actual impact on the ground, because these are the people that are actually employing. As you heard, he was talking about the fact that if revenue generation does not come in, it's going to affect the number of people that they, as an industry, as farmers, etc., are able to employ at a given time, and it has impacts, down the line for the communities, all of that. So very important discussion to have, and I think it sort of feeds into what's going on in other industries. I particularly enjoy the fact that they are reimagining their place, sort of accepting the fact that the local market doesn't really give them options right now, just given where things are. You've got a hard stance by the government on alcohol sales, so rather look outside or pivot a little bit to focus on another product, whether it be alcohol for hand sanitizer or looking to international markets. So definitely good discussion. Hope to see how the recovery comes in and see whether that disruption of people coming back into liquor stores actually helps the industry, and how long they take to recover. In about 6 months to a year, it would be good to do a catch up, a reflection with someone like Francois, just to hear what ended up happening and how they were able to actually end up getting out of the situation.
Shortly after the recording of this episode, Dr. Ivan Meyer, Western Cape Minister for Agriculture, announced that exports would now be allowed for the wine industry. Here's what he had to say.
The Western Cape welcomes the amendment of the disaster management regulations that will now allow for wines to be exported. The Western Cape is the home of 98% of all the wine sellers in South Africa, and we are pleased that wine exports will now continue. We are ready to protect our agricultural exports, and this amendment is welcomed in the Western Cape.
So with that, we've come to the end of this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And you can remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.